Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday, presented by Blake Street Tavern. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
I want to say it's a must-win. We're going to keep the ass, though. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to keep the ass.
Sanders. Sanders wants to throw wide open as Courtland Sutton dives in the end zone. Caught it. Touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders almost led him too far, but the rookie from SMU, Courtland Sutton, on the dive and a fingertip grab in the end zone makes it 13-0 Broncos.
From the 36-yard line, play action. Case Keenum looking deep. Wants it all. Emmanuel Sanders wide open at the 20. He's got it at the 10 to the 5. He'll flip into the end zone for the touchdown. Head over heels. Emmanuel Sanders with a flip and a dance afterwards, celebrating a 64-yard score, making it 27-3 Broncos.
Keenum under center, turns, gives to Lindsay. A hole on the left side, breaks the tackle to the 20. A little zigzag to the 15, inside the 10, fighting his way to the 5 and all the way to the end zone for the touchdown. Philip Lindsay's second rushing touchdown of the year, 28 yards, as he broke the tackle of Zach Moore and left him and the rest of the Cardinals grasping at dust.
Rosa the throw. Four-man pressure. Out of the gun. He's in trouble and he's sacked. It's Bradley Chubb, his second sack of the night. This one a loss of 9. And Rosen is down.
What a win by the Broncos. What a win by the Broncos.
Go up.
Victory!
And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Fire Mike McCoy. So the Broncos get McCoy fired twice. It's amazing.
How about the Cardinals looking at us like we were weak sauce?
Were they doing that?
Oh, when they said that we got to get a win against the Broncos,
Did the Broncos drown some Cardinals? I think that was what you were espousing, that they somehow drowned Cardinals. That happened. Okay, anyways. What does the win mean, Alfred? What does it mean? Well, first of all,
hey, can I get some sacks by our defense, please? Can I get some sacks?
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick the ass, though.
Song sounds so much better, man, on Victory Friday.
We haven't played in a while, that's for sure.
Rosa drops the throw, pressure comes and he's sacked. He had no chance. Zach Kerr, the first one to get him, a loss of 7, nice as move. The Broncos come nice right move. Up the gut and get to Josh Rosa. Shotgun snap comes in chest high, drops the throw, pressure up the middle, and he's sacked by Shaquille Barrett, who tosses him aside as if he were a rag doll. Back in the 23, a loss of 9, time to punt for Arizona. Line Rosen, the throw, pressure comes, gets away from Wolf, and then the ball's knocked out of his hands. The ball rolling on the field at midfield, still rolling, caromed around, and scooped up by Denver. That ball bounced, caromed, rolled, and finally picked up on the near sidelines by DeMarcus Walker. No question that this one's going to be a turnover as he stepped up into the pocket. Vaughn Miller got him, and the ball bounced off his knee, took a wild roll through 3 players, squirts free to the sidelines, and DeMarcus Walker scoops it up. Pressure coming, Rosen in trouble. Ball's knocked out, strip sack by Miller. Miller scoops up the loose ball, and Denver's got it inside the 15-yard line. Vaughn Miller went by Andre Smith like he wasn't even there, and Miller into the backfield, ripped the ball out of the hands of Josh Rosen. Another turnover to this Denver D.
Woo! Yeah, man, you go.
Hey, big sexy, man.
+4 and giveaway takeaway. Hey, you're gonna do some damage.
Hey, can I get an interception or two while we got a little time, man? You may have to do. You may have to start that over. But I like Snoop Dogg right there. Can I get an interception, man? Can
I get airing it deep for Sanders, and that ball's gonna be intercepted. Picked off by Patrick Peterson as he overshot Sanders by 4 yards, and Patrick Peterson with his second interception of the year and out of bounds at the Arizona 36.
He's got okie doke there.
Golly. Everybody here goes up. Victory!
And they stay there.
Shotgun snap
DeRozan sets to the pocket, airing it deep down the left sideline, looking for Christian Kirk, and it's intercepted by Bradley Roby in the end zone. It'll be a touchback as Rosen is picked for the third time tonight. Bradley Roby with the interception, and the
That was a horrible throw by Rosen, too. Well, that was a terrible decision.
You know what he was doing is just going on his film study. This guy gives up the cookies, throw it deep on him, he's going to give up the cookies.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Roby played with so much more intensity last night, man. It looked so good.
The Cardinals definitely have a compete issue out there as well. It was...
You didn't think they competed?
You know what I think? I think their defense was exhausted. The Cardinals offense leads the league in three and outs. Coming off,
they just kept saying it over and over last.
A game on Sunday that was disappointing for them. I really do think a good defense, legitimately good defense, was just burned out, and it was Puntapalooza for the Cardinals yet again, and they were just worn down. I think they've got Chandler Jones was just exhausted. He was doing nothing.
He got a sack.
Okay, well, there's that, but I mean, he wasn't nearly as disruptive as he's been. I looked at that Cardinals team, and they looked to me mentally and physically wiped out. Three and outs. When you lead the league in three and outs, you are putting stress on your defense.
That's not what does it for the defense. That's not what does it for the defense. What usually does it for the defense that makes them want to play with a little less vigor is when there are points put on the board and it's not against the defense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
a punt return for a touchdown, interception, two – it was 14 points by the Denver Bronco defense.
Right.
They could have the Denver Bronco defense by themselves could have won the game last night.
Right.
If you just look at the 14 points that they scored.
It takes the spirit out of you a little bit.
No doubt, man.
Hey, by the way, were you okay with everybody playing in the fourth quarter?
I was more than okay with it.
After
being
risky,
embarrassed and humiliated, man, I was like, get all you can get tonight. Get all you can get tonight because these are the games where you got to eat greedy.
So you're okay with Philip Lindsay taking off kickoffs and punts and running the ball in the fourth quarter?
You know what? You got to eat greedy when you get a chance against a team like that.
Is that what was going on, by the way?
No doubt.
You're just trying to pile up numbers?
That's right, man. That's a see you Monday kind of game plan. Let's get it in. Let's get in here, get this win, get out of here, and I'll see you guys Monday.
That indicates to me you're putting in a weird spot.
Like, what do you mean?
We're not why were the Cardinals playing Josh Rosen in the fourth quarter?
Oh, you need those reps. Oh, you definitely.
The dude was getting killed.
D-Mac.
He was getting killed.
It was like we were talking about yesterday. When you play a young quarterback in those kind of moments in the game, it's like running a marathon. Okay? In his career, this is when things are first starting to get tough. He's going to have to learn to break through this.
I'll take your word for it.
Because things won't always be sweet, but when they are, you'll remember how they weren't sweet, and you'll have enough knowledge to pull somebody else through who's going through a similar situation. And we were talking about great quarterbacks earlier in the show, and how you can't be you said that Archie Manning was stuck on a team that had very few great players, and I said that maybe the conversation should be that Archie Manning wasn't a great player because great quarterbacks usually raise the level of everybody around them. And I'm going to give you an example.
All right.
Our offensive line was awful the year that we won a Super Bowl. Do you agree?
Awful's pretty tough to
awful
buddies of ours that were on that offensive line.
I mean, I love the guys, but collectively, they didn't play well together. It was not a great offensive line. But because of the greatness of Peyton Manning, okay, that team won a Super Bowl. That's what great quarterbacks do in big-time moments. You know what the down and distance is. You know what the situation is. I just got to find a way to win. And you know what? When we get into those situations, it's important that Case Keenum wins his third downs. It's important. It's very important, even if the game is out of sorts, if you will. Winning on third down is a habit. You know what I'm saying? You have to learn to win on third down because it's the money down in the NFL. And by the way, that's why sacks are so important, because what sacks represent in most critical moments of the game is this is a third down attempt, and if a guy gets a quarterback sack, what it does is end the drive. That's why sacks are so important. So when teams throw the football on third down and you see a guy gets a quarterback sack, that not only stops them, it also changes possessions, and that's why sacks are important. Sacks on second down, they don't count as much. Okay, sacks on third down, those are money plays. That like if Vaughn is getting sacks on third down and stopping drives, that's a much different sack than getting it on first down for a minus one.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley Sacks' second sack was, you know, at the end of the game and, you know, whatever.
Was Vaughn, it on third Vaughn, down? Was it on third down?
I forget what down it was on. I don't know.
But Vaughn's sacks were, you know, and
probably his last sack came when they were, like, winning by 35 and there was, like, 2 minutes to go.
Vaughn has something that I don't think I've ever seen from another player in the NFL. That dip move that he does, like, you know.
Was it more dip or duck?
It was a dip.
It wasn't dodge or dive. It was
it was a dip.
It was dip, not duck.
But the dip move was so good. See, this is the thing that I saw in Vaughn that I never, and I repeat, I never in my life have seen out of Bradley Chubb. Okay, so when I tell you that Vaughn is a unique character, that move that he did on Andre Smith where he got his shoulder pads underneath Andre Smith's target,
mm-hmm.
which means that Andre Smith was going to block an area, and Vaughn was running so low, you know, so he's running at one level, the guy goes to block him, and he dips underneath the block.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if I put you outside and tell you to do that on air, you're not going to be able to do it.
Oh, of course not. My son was watching the game with me. You know, we're there, and it was kind of fun to, you know. So we're there, and he goes, Dad, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's just like nobody else can do that. He goes, does he do that all the time? I go, he can.
He can.
He can do it.
If he knows it's an obvious pass situation. But here's
that,
where.
And that, by the way, because Vaughn put out a video talking about pass rushing this summer, which was great, from his camp there in Missouri, he revealed that he said he learns things about the offensive lineman he goes against, and he oftentimes sets him up. So that move, most likely, he had been setting up for
no
a
doubt.
While.
You like, can't do
been,
that. You can't do that move all the time.
He had been looking at tendencies of that guy, and he set him up. And that's where Vaughn just is.
That's why I said, you know, the other day.
Space.
That's why I said the other day, to no disrespect to the other great pass rushers that have played for the Denver Broncos, there's nobody like that that's ever played for this team.
No, he's one of
them. If Vaughn Miller stopped playing now, he would not be the all-time leader in sacks for the Denver Broncos. That distinction still goes to Simon Fletcher. But Vaughn, if he stopped playing right now, would be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Vaughn's probably the best defensive player the Broncos have ever had, if we're just having that conversation.
Best defensive player that they've ever had? Now, that conversation's still up in the air.
With who?
I think that the things that Carl Mecklenburg did
not
as
in the
a
Hall
player.
Of Fame.
Not in the Hall of Fame, but that doesn't mean
which defensive player is in the Hall of Fame for the Broncos?
You know, on the defensive side, none.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm thinking
Vaughn's
about
it.
The great Dennis Smith. I'm thinking about
Vaughn.
I'm thinking
Champ.
About Randy Gradishaw.
He's better than Randy. He's better than Dennis Smith. He's better than Steve Atwater.
I don't know if he's better than Mecklenburg.
He's better than.
I don't know.
Of course he is.
Listen, man, the dude played nose tackle, D tackle, outside linebacker, both inside linebacker
Carl,
position.
But we know that Vaughn's better than Carl.
I'm just saying, as a pass rusher, he is.
As a pass rusher, as a football player, as everything.
Listen, dude, no. You're getting this wrong. You don't know. I'm telling you.
You can't make one argument and then disagree with yourself.
I call a pass rusher a pass rusher. But if you can play, you know, it's a much different lifestyle living in and Mike linebacker than outside linebacker. But if you can do both of them at Pro Bowl level, that's unheard of.
Vaughn's pretty special.
Vaughn, is, as an outside pass rusher, we have never seen anybody remotely close to this. DeMarcus Ware is the next closest thing, and then Elvis after that.
All right, let me ask you this, based on last
And then game, I think that Simon comes in at number four.
We saw Mike McCoy get fired by the Cardinals this morning. Early this morning, by the way. Like, whoa. Rise and shine, you're fired.
He was fired last night, dude.
What does this mean? The win for the Broncos coaching staff.
Well, it means that one thing that happened last night that is a scary proposition is that now you know what your team looks like when they play hard. Now, that's a scary proposition because what it also says is that your team didn't play hard until last night. So, you know, it takes Von Miller saying, guys, let's have a see you Monday on our hands. Let's get this win and get out of here for a few days and come back and get ready for the Chiefs. The fact that you played that way and the fact that you had to be forced to play that way because there are three teams that forced you to play that way, okay? You had the Kansas City Chiefs with their running game that went over 100. I think it was 130, 140 yards. What's those numbers from the Chiefs game, Big Sexy? And then when you look at what happened with the Jets, where they went over 300, and then you look at what happened with the Rams going over 250, when you look at the combination of those 3 weeks, you had a defensive change. A defensive change forced you to play a different style of defense. But you backed into it because you were like, that's not going to work anymore. Let's change that. Well, you know what? In that situation, what you end up with is a very talented Justin Simmons playing one-on-one with Larry Fitzgerald.
Coaches, what does this mean for the coaches?
Well, I'm telling you. So last night, because of, you know, you backed into a new way to play defense with your base defense on the field. Now, that's a good deal. If you can play an aggressive style of defense with your base defense on the field, you just got the, you know, if you can play defense with base on the field, there is nothing that you can't do.
Van safe for the year.
Oh, yeah. As far as the coaches go, that learning experience last night about let's just play base, that's what they needed.
Is Joe Woods safe for the year?
Yes, I think he is.
Once again, D-Mac,
the things that they thought they could do, they found out over a three-game stretch that they can't do. That means it's much easier to play defense when you just put your base defense. Man, that's, you know, I'm trying to impress upon you how hard it is to play a base defense against a three wide receiver set.
All right.
It just never happens.
So everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine
no
now
matter
because
what.
We can play base defense against that.
You're not going to call for anybody. You're not going to – it's everybody's good no matter what.
We're good now.
Things go sideways against Kansas City.
Well,
everybody's
I'm
good.
I'm saying that we finish the year with this coaching staff.
All right.
No matter what.
All right.
Because you know what? The only win that was embarrassing was the Jets win. I mean, that loss was the only loss that was embarrassing. That one put everybody on notice. Like you lose
as
to this
it should
team.
Have, right?
You lose to this team the
and
way
the way
that you
they
did.
Lost, yeah.
And look at the energy and the effort last night compared to against the Jets.
Let's go to a much different.
But then also, do you question why in the hell are you getting to New York City at 5 p.m. and turn around and playing a game tomorrow at 11 a.m.?
That's a legitimate question.
Why would you do that?
Trying to think what other. They have an East Coast against Cincinnati, so we'll see.
And then they have an early game next week against the Kansas City Chiefs at 11.
Yeah, it's a noon start, sort of. Yeah, okay.
It's 11. Right, it's right. 11. Right, okay. And Denver, so.
What are we going to do?
Don't do that. Don't do that no
it's,
more,
it's
man.
It's like a 35-minute flight.
I know. I'm just saying, but but it's still the time start, man.
Don't you, get in there
only,
at 5 o'clock.
The only two early starts we have are the Bengals and the Chiefs the rest of the season.
Right, that's it.
Ryan, let's go to Ryan. Thank you for your patience. Ryan, you're on the fan. What's up, dude?
Well, chub, first off.
Chub. There you go.
Chub. I've been listening to you guys for a little bit, so I'm gonna leave you guys with this. Let's just say this, all right? So you guys say Hall of Fame quarterback or a great quarterback make a team better. Dan Marino. First off, just leave it with that. Then
you said he wasn't great?
Paxton Lynch. Look where Dak Prescott starting for the NFL. Lindsey, undrafted. Tell me what you guys think about that. And obviously, you know, we're talking about draft picks for next year and that. And leave you guys with those two things. And then one more thing with you guys. My girlfriend hates that I listen to sports radio, but she
nice.
Loves listening to Alan D-Mac.
Nice.
Tell her we appreciate
nice.
That, bro.
Appreciate
it. Here's what I'll say about...
Don't rush into marriage, though. Be patient.
Here's what I'll tell you about Dan Marino. What you know about Dan Marino is that he was great early. I don't know if you know the history of Dan Marino, but Dan Marino took a team to the NFL Super Bowl within the first 2 years, and he missed going to the Super Bowl a few times because of missed field goals and not having a great defense. Dan Marino certainly was a great player. I mean, Dan Marino wasn't a slouch of a football player. Look at all-time wins, and you'll see Dan Marino's name up there. I mean, don't think that Dan Marino wasn't a great player, because he was. As far as Philip Lindsay, how that guy goes undrafted, man, he's got the sweetest feet, man. You know, I was talking to Big Sexy about this today. And there are a lot of guys who played for the Denver Broncos, and a lot of them still live around town.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to be the one to say it. I don't want to be disrespectful, because there are a lot of 1,000-yard rushers around here in the great city of Denver.
Tatum will forgive you. Go ahead.
I see Tatum almost every day at the gym, by the way. And this is probably for Tatum. No disrespect intended.
What other 1,000-yard rushers live around here?
I mean, Mike Anderson pops in and out
of
town.
He doesn't live around here.
But I'm just saying that they're 1,000-yard rushers. So, you know,
Tatum's a good dude. I'm sure he'll be fine with whatever you're about to say.
This guy is the best running back we've had in Denver since Clinton Portis.
I got to think about that a little
bit. You think about that one. That includes the great Mike Anderson.
So better than Tatum, obviously.
Tatum had the kind of speed, but he didn't have the kind of... this guy is...
Than Mike Anderson?
Yes, better than Big Mike.
Better than CJ.
Better than the bowling ball. I mean, he was a great player here. Won a Super Bowl.
Since Portis. Better than... All right, okay. I mean, I'm not even sure where else to go here.
That's where we're... The 30 is appropriate. The 30 is appropriate.
I mean, we're talking C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman, no Sean Moreno, Willis McGahee.
Oh, better than Willis McGahee?
Peyton no Hillis, Selvin
better
Young.
Than, hold on. Better than Jamal Charles?
Reuben Jamal Jones.
Did, right now, yes.
Okay.
Reuben Jones, another 1,000-yard rusher.
I think he does live around here.
Yeah, Reuben does.
Better than Drones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue
with
you.
His feet, man.
I gotcha.
Hey, his
I'm with
feet,
you.
When his feet... get to that mesh point where there's a blocker that is getting to the defender, and his ability to run off of that cut and keep his balance is fantastic.
Hey, man, it's not our fault that he wasn't. We were pumping Philip Lindsay. We talked about how stupid it was that he wasn't at the combine. We talked about how he should
Nobody
be drafted.
Nobody knew he was going to run like that. Nobody knew that he was going
to... Yeah, don't get invited to the combine.
I know, but nobody
knew. You're the number one running back at CU in the Pac-12, and you don't get invited to the combine?
Nobody knew he was going to throw down a 4-3.
I think people could have watched him for years play running back at CU.
No.
How many running backs get invited to the combine?
Hey, listen, D-Mac.
Dude, they invite like 40 running backs to the combine. It was ridiculous.
D-Mac, 5'8 and 4'5. Don't match.
Dude, 30 guys at the... How many running backs were at the combine?
Let me finish.
It was ridiculous.
Let me finish. 5'8", okay? Or call it 5'9", okay?
What you got against 5'8"?
Okay, hold on. 5'9". Call
easy
it 5'9".
With your 5'8 hate.
Hold on, man. Hold on. It's not a 5'8 hate
we
going on.
We got a
on.
Whole club.
Okay, call it 5'9".
I may have shrunk to 5'7", by the way.
Let's call it 5'9".
Yeah, there's no way he's 5'9".
Okay, let's call it 5'8". 5'8", 4'5", doesn't count.
Okay.
Not in this league.
Yeah.
It's like saying a 6-foot quarterback.
Okay.
Okay. 5'8", 4'5", doesn't work. 5'8", 4'3", now that works. And what's different about Philip Lindsay...
Where does 4'3" not work?
4'3" works everywhere.
Right.
But here's the deal. He runs 4'3" every time he touches the ball. It's not like he runs 4'5".
What's your argument here? He's awesome?
No, my argument is...
I agree.
If you think the guy is a 4'5 guy, then you wouldn't invite him to the combine because he's not big enough.
Nah. But it was ridiculous oversight.
If there was some inkling that this guy would run 4'3", he would have been there. Now it took him to run that time at CU before coach all the teams.
Dude, you're in the Pac-12. It's not exactly
it
like you're
matter.
Hiding.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. 4'3", in this league, no matter what position
so
it
you
is.
Think, so, hold on. You think he was rightfully overlooked?
5'8", man. I'm telling you.
You have zero trip.
Listen, man. 5'8", 4'5", is going to be overlooked.
We got to take a break.
5'8", 4'3". Never overlook.
Greg, Caleb, Roger, open lines for you. Text line is open as well. RamosLaw.com text line. Great day. Awesome
great
day.
Great day. Great day.
And soon, and man, you know, you can enjoy the weekend, and we start digging into the Chiefs And maybe there is a September swoon for the Chiefs. They've lost one in a row.
And they have the Chiefs. They have the Chargers coming up.
Okay.
The Chargers, man.
Okay.
Watch out for the Chargers. They're putting up big numbers.
This is the Drive on the Fin.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, I haven't checked the Big Sexy. Did anybody on the fan pick against the Broncos yesterday?
One person on the fan staff did.
Who?
And his name is Raj Sharon.
He doesn't have to do any walk of shame.
Raj, still Raj. Oh.
How about Byron Leftwich is named the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
You don't think so?
No.
Well,
they have some severe personnel issues here in Arizona.
But
I'm not saying Mike McCoy isn't a little accountable for things, but they got some major retooling to do.
And since we have an injury at the Jeremy McNichols, number 33, may be asked to come up if Royce Freeman is down for the Kansas City Chiefs game.
We'll see. Yeah, Jeremy McNichols joined the team a couple weeks ago on practice squad because we lost our draft pick because we put him on practice
Williams.
Squad. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
Where did he go? Where did Williams go?
I want to say Jacksonville.
Okay.
But I could
yes, he
be.
Did.
I could be wrong.
No. Because Jamal Charles went there, and
I think he did. I could be wrong though. I'm sure somebody can look it up, and somebody's screaming in their car right now. Thank you to King Soup, Jacksonville. See, I get things right occasionally. I knew there was a
Jaguars just also traded for Carlos Hyde.
That's right. Not convinced David Williams is any good, I guess. King Super's fan football pick 'em. So Raj Sharon.
Well, you're talking about that rain on top was shorter than leprechauns.
You can get a $250 King Super's gift card each and every week for your chance to shame a losing fan host. Who would ever lose? Or a grand prize of groceries for a year from King Supers. Go to 1043thefan.com. Thank you, King Supers. I love ClickList, which is there at King Supers. By the way, I was commiserating. It's funny, you know, we're still here in Arizona having a great time. And, tough game last night for the Cardinals, right? He goes, well, what about it? So I go right from being like a Broncos fan. Then he brings up ASU, and I'm like, what happened last night? That was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, you got crosshairs.
I feel like I'm part of the community down here.
The 602
here,
or the 303?
Well, I don't
be part of the 303 community.
I'm part of the 303.
So much better there.
I'm just saying, there's a significant amount of Colorado love down here in the desert. That's
are you
all
sure he's
saying.
Not more of a 617 type of guy?
Mm. I don't even know. Boston.
Boston. There you go.
Yeah. We're 978 up in Cape Ann. There, by the way, big sexy.
Know you're rich when you grow up in a place called Cape.
That's right. That's right. I'm wicked rich. That's where I came from. I remember being in a house that
I'm from Cape South Park.
Right. Remember when we had one toilet to pee in for 18 years when I lived in that house, thinking about how lucky we are that
but
we
how
were
big
so
was
rich.
That toilet, though?
Tiny. Tiny. The square footage of my house was 600 square feet. We had one bathroom.
That was the square footage?
Yeah, man. We had
of your bedroom.
I wish.
Oh, good for you.
Cape South, man. Country
I did have my own car and my own boat, though, in high school.
Oh, man. Yeah. Talk about it.
79 Ford Pinto and 15-foot.
Don't let it out.
Okay. Hashtag Baker Challenge.
Let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on the fan. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Super.
Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Okay. Yeah, we're great.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, you were talking earlier about why Broncos fans would want the team to lose, and I'm not in that school. I'm probably too competitive and have been a fan for long enough that I don't like seeing them lose. I think what frustrates fans is you want to see them moving in one way, whether it's moving up toward a Super Bowl championship or the playoffs. That's moving one way.
Mm-hmm.
But moving backward for fans isn't bad either because they want to see them rebuild and do
something
like that.
Not in Denver.
I think what... I think what frustrates them, Al, is the Marvin Lewis situation of mediocrity forever, where you're not moving up and you're not moving down. You're just stuck in being not good enough and not quite bad enough to get a first overall pick.
Yeah, it's a good point. Also, you have to understand every win is a bigger commitment to Case Keenum. Now, that could be fine if you're into Case Keenum and you think he's going to be great. You realize that, right? Every time the Broncos win, you're getting closer to being more heavily committed to Case Keenum, which, again, was the goal in the first place. We said it a million times. If we want this thing to work out, what we're hoping is Case Keenum works out, and you sign him for a five-year deal after the two-year deal, and then you've had a seven-year quarterback, and you did it. And that ultimately would be the best thing for everybody because it means everything's working out. But what you're talking about and what we've got to, you know, you take some deep breaths with, are we looking at 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 for the next 5 years? Is Case Keenum, will he ever get you beyond that? And that's a question I don't know. Well, I think I know what the answer is, and I think you know what it is too.
Let me say this.
Every win we get is a step closer to more Case Keenum.
Okay. This is what I want to say, okay? In 1989, the Denver Broncos were, John Elway was 10-5, okay? Meaning over a 16-game time period, the Broncos won 10 games with John Elway as the starting quarterback. In 1990, the Denver Broncos won 5 games and went 5-11. But at no time during that process did anybody think that John Elway wasn't the guy. But maybe Dan Reeves. He did draft Tommy Maddox.
It was a weird moment. It was a weird moment, no doubt.
But 5-11 says nothing about the guy that you have at quarterback. Once you know you have your guy at quarterback, then you're not looking to draft the quarterback in the first round.
No. I mean, Peyton Manning was, 3-13 his first year or something like that?
If we went 10-6,
yeah,
are we still looking for a quarterback in the first round? My answer is yes.
Dude, I know you say that.
It's nice to have that opinion, but it's not
in John Elway's DNA.
Hold on. Either you have enough to win a Super Bowl or you don't. Do we have enough at quarterback to win a Super Bowl?
Al, I inherently agree with you.
I said that Case Keenum was good enough to get us back to the playoffs, but I said don't talk about winning. And the way I phrased this at the beginning of the year, if we got back to the playoffs at 10-6, at some point we have to go on the road, and if we have to go on the road to play the New England Patriots, we're never beating the New England Patriots with Case Keenum. Okay. Is what I said, and I'm never backing down from that.
I agree with you. But we knew John Elway wasn't into Tim Tebow, right? Right?
No doubt. I mean, that was the.
We knew it, right?
That was the easiest call in the world.
We knew it. Do you know John Elway isn't into Case Keenum? We'll talk about it next.
To Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
I think our team's focused. I really do. You know, we're 3-4. You know, we're not a team that's rolling right now. We won one game. You know, we lost 4 in a row. So I think the guys like the feeling of winning, you know, and we played that football team, you know, really well last time and came away, you know, with an emotional loss. So I think the guys want to get back at it, you know, just get back at it and have a chance to go see if we can rectify that last loss versus KC. It's a divisional opponent. It's going to be a packed house. It's going to be rocking. So we're looking forward to it. You know, it won't be easy, but I think our guys obviously enjoy winning and they want to win. So we'll see.
All right, BJ, man. Save yourself some. You might have saved your career with the Denver Broncos last night. Tell you that. Maybe it works out.
See, that's the life of an NFL coach.
Came down to last night, and you prevailed.
You win a nice game, and the next thing is, okay, now we got Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, which is
there's no, hey, coach, can you reflect on this last game? No.
You're like, okay.
Let's move on to Kansas City.
Yeah, Bill Belichick doesn't have to face questions about his possible termination. You know, it's guys.
It's really weird, man. Like, you know, people will say that your job is on the line, you win the game, and now it's on to the next team. Now it's the way it goes. You're always in the blender.
I told you you're always in the blender when you
coach in this league.
It was the October Super Bowl, and they won. Not only did they crushed, a breath of fresh air for everybody. Whatever was working, that's the recipe. And let's see if you can manufacture it again. I think Von Miller helped a lot. I think he went to his teammates.
That's why you pay him.
You went to, but you know.
No. No doubt about it. That's why you pay him.
But leading sometimes can be tricky. You're not exactly sure how to do it.
You can't do that all the time.
He saved that arrow for the right time to shoot a target. Because you can't use it all the time. It's like the player only meetings. You can't use them all the time.
I really don't like those, by the way.
Yeah, they're in general is stupid. Like, but when you have a leader of your team challenge you as a man to go out and kick butt together, you know, that's something different. That he's not waiting to. I mean, he did ask around, like he did sort of look.
You okay,
for,
if I say this,
right? But he had already made up his mind to do it. It's not like, hey, Chris Harris goes to Vaughn. Hey,
Vaughn, you want to say this?
Why don't you like, did Darren Stewart go up to Vaughn and was like,
Darian.
Well, I just go off what the coach said.
What do you mean?
Well, if he says Darren Stewart, I'm going to call him Darren Stewart.
His name is Darian Stewart. But go ahead, I'll correct you.
Do you think Case Keesum went up there and said?
That's the general manager.
If John's going to call him. All right. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah, you're on the fan. Hi, Isaiah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
You got it.
Hey, I just want to give you guys a few scenarios that I think that we can possibly do as far as the money that we got. I say get rid of Case Keenum. He's already shown us that what he could do. Mm-hmm. I'm already thinking about the future as far as Chad Kelly.
Me too.
I think we should stay with Chad Kelly.
Not Chad Kelly, but I'm thinking about the future. But go ahead.
As far as the future, maybe hiring Peyton Manning to be a quarterback coach.
That is never going
to
happen, man.
To be a quarterback's coach.
That's never
going to
happen, man.
You want to hire Peyton Manning to be a quarterback's coach?
If anything, you would ask Peyton Manning to come in here as the head football coach.
I got an idea. Why don't you hire Bill Gates to be your dishwasher? Thanks, Isaiah.
Coordinator.
Dude, Isaiah. Thank you, Isaiah.
You would just have to say to Peyton, man, look, I want you to come in and be the head football coach.
Oh, my God. He would never do that. There's only one job for Peyton Manning in the NFL. Two, maybe. President of football, just like Elway, or owner. That's it. He ain't doing anything else.
There's something magical about calling plays.
He ain't coaching.
You know, there's something magical about calling plays.
Would have a headset on?
I think that fits him more like anything that, you know, it's not the same game, man. When you call plays, man, there's something about calling plays.
Alfred, give me a break. It's not ever doing that.
Just telling you, man.
Would
something
John
different.
Elway ever coach? No. And he's a kid.
No, he can't. No,
he's
no,
a son
no.
of a coach.
No, but there's something about calling plays, man.
Yeah, not for billionaires, and, you know, dude. Billionaires don't mess around with not billion, multimillionaire.
All right, Danny.
It's a different world.
Just letting you know, man. When you get a chance to call the play, man, there's something special about that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for Peyton Manning. Ownership, president of football, sure. He tried to go in with a billionaire to buy the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, I understand.
He's getting with Kobe to produce, you know, how-to videos on the NFL. I mean, a big, humongo, maybe he'll get in the broadcast booth. Maybe.
Mm.
But he'll never, ever hold a whistle to be a coach.
Maybe just on his Peyton Manning, his academy that he holds.
Yeah, he does that.
Maybe
that's great.
Enough. Maybe.
There's no doubt about it. It would be more likely that Peyton Manning would coach a high school team than in the NFL. Now, he may do that. Kent may need a high school football coach to go up against Valor at some point. Who knows? I mean, I could actually see him doing that as a fun thing to sort of do. Maybe he goes out there to Valor and helps out Stokely and Ed and Tyler and the rest of those underdogs out there. Good luck to all the kids in Friday Night Lights, by the way.
Yes, good luck.
It's more likely he does that than ever coach in the NFL.
Well,
Peyton Manning's going to get in at some point. And don't be surprised when he comes back
in. Is Peyton Manning a Hall of Famer?
What?
I'm just joking, Doc.
Ah! All right, we want to thank.
I even got you on that one, dog.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Appreciate it.
Say that again. What did he do? What did he say?
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Big Sexy, you just have to get that in once a week, don't
you? That's the funniest thing.
I mean, come on, man. Do you have to get that in at least once a week, man?
First of all, it's at Aretha's funeral.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
And the song is literally spelling the word. The whole song is about spelling the word.
You just have to get that in once a week, dog.
I mean, you misspell a word where the whole song is about spelling that word. We gotta go.
All right, for my partner D-Mac, for Big Sexy, man, appreciate you, man. And of course, Kyle Berry, we appreciate all of you guys rolling with
us.
We own
the desert. Broncos,
hey, this is The
fans.
Drive. We'll see you back here Monday at 3 o'clock on The Drive. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.